But I want to jump right into our first message this morning. It's going to be from Psalm 67. If you'll join me there in Psalm 67. Very little that I enjoy preaching about more than missions. One of my favorite subjects. And honestly, if you're in the Word of God, if you're faithful to the Word of God, you're going to recognize missions is everywhere. It's not a New Testament, exclusively a New Testament thing. It's something that really began in the book of Genesis and carries right on into the book of Revelation, this idea of trying to reach people with the gospel. You don't have to look very far to see God working to bring people back to Himself, to bring people, to reconcile people with Himself. And certainly that is something that we're going to see this morning in Psalm 67. If you wouldn't mind joining me in standing as we read this psalm together. Psalm 67, we'll look at all seven verses here. Psalm 67, verse number 1. This prayer, it's been often called a missions psalm. Psalm 67, it's a prayer, it begins this way. God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. That Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning. For each one who's made the trip in on this rainy Sunday morning, Lord, it's a blessing to get to be in Your house with Your people around Your Word. Lord, we're trusting that You'd speak to us now. Use this morning's lesson and message to be an encouragement to us and also to challenge us, Father. We need to be challenged this morning to make sure that we're using the blessings You've given us in the way that You mean for us to, Lord. So help me as I teach, preach, Lord, I pray You to help each of us to hear and be ready to respond as You lead us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you would be seated and grab a hymnal. I know it's not the normal way to start a message, but if you have a hymnal right there and you'd like to join me at hymn number 569. You have the same hymnal that we use there at Midland, so I know the number. Hymn 569, you'll find the song Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings. And I tell you what, church, we are, whether we recognize it as often as we should, whether we acknowledge God for it as often as we should, we are a blessed people. We really are. Count your blessing. You'll see there in your hymnal, verse number 1, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Verse 2 says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. The chorus is very well known. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And we could spend a while doing what that song tells us to do, couldn't we? We should, actually, shouldn't we? On a regular basis. I think I remember talking to Brother Chad. I know he tries to write down three things he's thankful for. I don't know if he still does that or not, but that's a good habit to have. Every day, thinking of some things that we're thankful for, that God has blessed us with, we ought to be mindful of. We sing about God's blessings. One of my favorite songs is the song, I Have Been Blessed. You maybe heard it before, I Have Been Blessed, a great one. Really, it is, if we think about it, it's an understatement to say we've been blessed. We've been beyond blessed, I think is a better way to put it. We think about everything that we have in Jesus Christ, in the gospel. We think about all the things that God has reserved for us in eternity. All the things He saved us from, and then add to that just the daily manifestation of His provision and His blessing. We think about all these things, add them up together, and we say, we are absolutely a blessed people. Certainly are. And we understand that this is not the blessings that we're talking about. They're not random acts of fate, are they? We understand these are things from God. The book of James reminds us that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. Psalm 40 says, many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. More than I can even count, the psalmist says. You've been good to me. behind everything that's good in our lives, everything that's a blessing, everything that's beneficial, everything that's pleasant in our lives, we recognize from Him that the blessings are from God. We know that if we're thinking right, we must be quick to acknowledge that God is the source of all the good in our lives. Certainly as we think about who we are, specifically American Christians. Not just everything we have in God as a Christian, but an American. I mean, what we have in our country and the ways that we're blessed. Anybody here ever traveled outside the United States? Or many probably have or would like to. I know that was, I've only ever been out of the States one time. I went to Monclova, Mexico on a missions trip. And you get down to some other places, countries that are not like ours. And you very quickly recognize and realize, boy, we have it really good here in America, don't we? We have it really good. I know you have had missionaries come through and they've shared the need and the burdens that they have. And obviously there's a spiritual need, but you just even look at some of the physical lacks that are missing that are in other countries. Pastor Linick, he's the individual who started the church that I got the pastor. I get the pastor in Bellevue. He was often known for saying, is known for saying, he's still around, is known for saying it should be required of every American to travel abroad. He said, just to get the perspective, how good things are in the United States, to go around and to see just how blessed we are as Christians, as Americans. We are a blessed people. He said, what does this have to do with missions? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Psalm 67 is called Israel's missionary psalm. We don't know who the human author of this psalm is, but we know who the author is, don't we? It's God Himself, and we don't really know much of the background or the context of this psalm, but really we don't need to. The point of this psalm is very, very clear. It is a missions psalm, and it comes across in the form of a prayer. It's a prayer that is addressed to God, asking for some things so that the psalmist may accomplish some things. And I'm going to try to point those out for us here this morning. So he begins in verse number 1 by praying. Again, it is a prayer that he's making. He's asking God for God's mercy and for God's blessing. You see that there in verse number 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Now we understand this prayer, as he asks God for these things, we understand prayer is more than just asking, right? We ought not to look at prayer as just us coming to God and, here, God, here's what I want, and here's what I need. And we treat God sometimes like He's our butler or like He's a servant. We just bring all these things to Him and say, all right, God, meet every one of those needs and do all these things for me. Prayer ought to be much more than that. Prayer is thanksgiving. Prayer is worship. Prayer is praise. Prayer is intercession for others. But prayer is asking. At its most basic form, it is us coming to God and asking. We shouldn't be afraid to ask God for things. We just have to make sure our motives are right. But we should ask for certain things. And here the psalmist is making this request of God, and he's asking God for mercy. God be merciful unto us. Thankful. We can pray that same prayer with confidence that He is and He will be merciful. We don't have to wonder, is God going to be merciful? Will God be merciful? No, God is a merciful God. His mercy is great. We could go to Psalm 51 and see David saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Ephesians 2:4 reminds us He is rich in mercy. And we ought to ask for God's mercy. That'll be something we ought to ask for. You know why? Because we need it. Mercy is God's compassion, His forbearance. It's Him, listen, and shielding us from what we rightly deserve. If we got what we deserve, church, it wouldn't be blessings. It'd be judgment. If we got what we deserved, it wouldn't be blessings. It would be His judgment. So he's praying, this psalmist is, and asking God for mercy, asking God to be merciful upon us. Then he says, and bless us, God. He's praying, God, bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. The idea behind the word bless is cause us to be successful. Cause us to be prosperous. The phrase there, cause thy face to shine upon us, is a common way to refer to God's favor. Lord, be favorable upon us. Approve of us and cause your blessings to flow to us. Again, like the prayer for mercy, we can also pray for God's blessing and be confident He wants to bless us. He wants to be merciful and He wants to bless us. That is a prayer we can have. And as this psalmist is praying, we have to understand his mindset would be very much in the physical sense of blessings. In the New Testament, when we think of blessing, sometimes we can't think of the physical ways God blesses us, but there are so many spiritual blessings that we enjoy. The love, the joy, the peace, along the things that we enjoy in Christ. He's got in mind here some very physical, tangible things. Lord, allow us as your people to prosper. Allow us to have great physical prosperity, victory in battles. Give us success. Give us a land. Give us large harvests and crops and homes. He's praying for these things. And you look at that, you say, well, by itself, wouldn't that maybe come across as a little bit selfish? A little bit self-centered? I mean, really, he's praying, God, would you allow your bounty, allow your abundance to be showered upon us? Give us more, Lord. We ask for more. We want your blessing upon it. Well, we understand this psalmist, he's praying these things, yes, but not for selfish motives or reasons. He's got the right motivation behind it. God has blessed us. There's a lot of reasons why we might think God's blessed us. Well, God blesses me because I'm deserving of it. No, that's not why. Again, if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be getting blessing. We'd be getting judgment. That's what we deserve. We deserve hell. As sinners, we that's all we deserve. Well, God's blessing me because God cares about how happy I am. I think he does want us to be happy, but you know what he cares more and more about, more than happiness? He cares that we're living right and we're doing right. We're like Christ. He cares more about that than he does about our happiness. Well, God wants me to be comfortable. He blesses me with all these abundant things, and it's because he wants me to have a comfortable life. Not really. Well, he blesses me because I'm an American. We are blessed because we're Americans. That is a blessing. I'm thankful to be an American. I wouldn't want to be anything else. But it's not. We're not blessed because we're Americans. Why has God blessed us the way that he has? Why is it your life and why is it my life have such an excess of God's abundance and God's blessing? And why is it the psalmist is praying, God, continue to bless us. Bless us more and more. What was the purpose behind it? Well, you see the purpose in verse number 2, if you read it with me. Again, verse 1, this prayer for mercy and for blessing and for favor. For what purpose? Well, verse number 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. The blessings that this psalmist is praying for was not for his own benefit. It was for the benefit of all people. For the benefit of all nations. You know what that sounds like? Missions. This is a mission psalm, and it's a missions prayer, and he's praying, Lord, bless me so that the people upon earth may know thy way. Know thy way. Know, really, the idea there would be know the way that you'd have us to live. Know your word and the directions for life. Listen, that was something all the world needs. It's something we need this morning. Let me just encourage you today. If you're a child, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're an adult, you're an old adult, you need to know God's way. You need his way. His way is best. His way is right. And so he's praying that God's way would be known among the nations. He's praying also that God's saving health, again, you see it there, saving health among all nations. He's praying that God's health and his healing would be known in the countries and the nations of the world, 195 countries in our world today. And his prayer is that the saving health that God provides would be known among all these nations. And why did God? Think about it. Why did God create the nation of Israel? Why did God, and you think about it, before Abraham was Abraham and before he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, there were no Jews. Just Gentiles. Why did God specialize Abraham? Why did he make him a Jew? Why did he, from him, cause this great nation to come forth? You say, well, obviously, the big reason would be to bring his son through that line, right? The Messiah is a big part of that, but there's another reason. He had a purpose for Israel. Had a purpose for Israel. He meant for Israel to be a missions nation. A nation that God would use he would specially use the nation of Israel to reach the world. We sometimes get it in our minds that God didn't care about the Gentiles in the Old Testament. No, not at all. He used his people and he blessed his people so that his people would go and bring people to the Lord. He meant for Israel to be that. Israel was supposed to be a witness and to be a testimony. They were to live in obedience to God. And as they lived in obedience to God, God's blessings was going to be poured out and showered down upon Israel. And as that happened, the nations of the world would see God's blessing, be drawn to Him. Over and over and again, you find that this is God's purpose. Israel was supposed to be a big sign, bright lights, pointing the nations of the world to the true God. The true God. You see this happening at the very pinnacle of, I think, Israel's history in terms of just the physical blessing. You think about King Solomon. Remember that time in Israel's history, in King Solomon's reign, where the Bible says silver was accounted for as nothing. So wealthy, so prosperous. They had so much in the nation that people looked at silver as like, that's not really important. That's not valuable. We got so much of that, it's not really useful here. And so nations of the world, they liked silver. But Israel's like, we had so much. Silver was accounted for as nothing. And during that time, you know what happens? The nations of the world flowing to Jerusalem, flowing to see King Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, among others that were coming and doing business with Israel and seeing the wonders of Israel. And you know what happened as they saw these things? They got a first-hand glimpse of the true God and His blessings upon Israel. And that was, listen, that was for the world a magnet. God's effort and God's mission, God's purpose has always been to reach all worlds with the gospel. And the way He did it in the Old Testament, a little bit different than the New, He meant for Israel to be a shining light and would draw people to Himself. That magnet that would draw people in. God's blessings upon Israel, physically prospering Israel. Again, all the promises that He's made. For Israel's comfort? No. Because Israel deserved it? No. Because Israel, He wanted Israel to be happy? No. For Israel to selfishly use these blessings on themselves? No. Again, the purpose is verse number 2, that the nations would know the Lord, know His saving health. Again, they were meant to be a magnet that would draw the people of the earth to the true God. It's a little bit different in the New Testament. I want to make sure we're clear on that. Say, is that the same model God uses today? Are we to just, you know, pray for God's blessings and then we're just supposed to exist and supposed to, you know, be blessed and then we're just going to expect people to be drawn to God when He sees His blessings upon us? Is that how it works in the New Testament? It's not. You look at the New Testament and you look at the commands of the New Testament, or you might look at the mindset or the attitude, or you say the posture of the New Testament when it comes to missions. Is it a matter of, you know, stand there and just be blessed and let the people come to you? No, if you had to boil it down to one word, I think the right word would be this. Go. Right? Go. Your purpose is not to stay there and just pray that God would draw people to you. Rather, it's you. Get out into the world and reach people. That's the New Testament model. Read it in Matthew 28, Mark 16, all the different Great Commissions passages. You're to go and to see people saved and discipled and baptized and brought to Christ. That's the effort we're supposed to make. By the way, very easy for us to sit back and say, you know what? When God's ready to work in people's lives and they know where we are, it's a small city. I mean, it's not a huge city. I'm not real familiar with it, but I know this, that probably most people here in Falls City have an understanding that there's a church in town, there's churches in town, and it could be very easy, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, to just say, well, and when they're ready to get right, they'll come to us. Is that the model of the New Testament? It's not. We're to go to them. Go and work the field, if you will. In the Old Testament, though, the idea was, come. Come and see. Come and see the God of Israel. Come and see the blessings of the true God. His method for reaching the world has changed. Again, it's in our day. It's us going. But listen, the purpose of the blessings is still the same. The reason behind the blessing is still the same. God still means for the blessings of His people in the Old Testament and for the blessings of His people in the New Testament to be the means by which He reaches the world. So the psalmist here, seeking God's blessing. Seeking God's blessing so that his way may be known among all nations. Look at verse number 3. He's making this prayer. I don't want to spend real long here. I don't want to make sure we get to application here in just a moment. But look at verse number 3. Again, this prayer that he's praying. He's praying for all people. Praying that all people would come to know the Lord and praise the Lord and enjoy the Lord. Look at verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And this is a missions prayer, that word let. He's making this request of God, praying that all people of the world, God's truth, God's word, God's gospel isn't for a select group of people. We understand this. For everybody. The psalmist has a desire for everyone to come to know the Lord. In verse number 4, he's praying for the nations to be glad and to sing for joy. You say, is that how the nations are described today? Turn the news on at 5 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night and you hear different events going on in the world. Is it, well, the nations of the world are joyful. They're singing for joy. That's not usually how things are. If you had to describe our world today, we'd use words like catastrophe. We'd use words like fear and death and anxiety and tragedy and suffering and heartache and regret. That's our world. That's the world we live in. So how would these nations come to know the joy of God and to sing for joy, as verse number 4 talks about, and to be glad? I mean, how is it the nations are going to come to that place? Well, again, it's to acknowledge the righteous governing of God. Look at again verse number 4. For thou shalt judge the people righteously, govern the nations upon earth. And then you say, judgment, judge, that doesn't sound good. I mean, judgment typically has a negative connotation. Well, here the idea is this: God's going to rule, God's going to reign in righteousness. Unlike the nations of the world today, unlike the governments of the world today, there's not going to be any corruption. There's not going to be any greed or deceit or sin. No, God's going to judge righteously. This points us to the kingdom, the messianic kingdom, when God sets up a throne. Christ says he rules for that millennial reign, that thousand-year reign. I understand you're going through the book of Revelation. Maybe you haven't gotten to this part in the book of Revelation, but you will, and Christ does come, and he sets up a kingdom, and for a thousand years he rules on this earth, and it is righteousness. He's praying for this time when the nations would be glad and would rejoice and would know the Lord and would know His peace and know His joy as they are ruled by Him. Remind us, again, the purpose of these blessings are again, the people of the world. Look at verse 6 and 7. The psalmist is confident and continues to pray that God would continue to bless the people. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Again, he's understanding God's merciful. God wants to bless us, and so he continues to ask for God's blessing, for God's increase, for God's continued tangible blessings. And yet, you see it there in the end of verse number 7. He doesn't lose sight of why. All the ends of the earth shall fear Him. The purpose of these blessings are the benefit of all people. From this psalm, church, a couple things that are clear. One of them is this: God desires the praise of all people. God desires the praise of all people. The psalmist here understands this. We recognize that God deserves the praise of all people. God desires it, and certainly He's worthy of the praise of all people. And yet we'd understand this: the praise that God desires and God is worthy of all nations and from all people is not actually happening. He's not receiving the praise and the honor and the glory from this world like He should. I'll share some information here in just a few moments in the next service about the condition of the world, the need of the world. The reality is, though, that this world that we live in doesn't recognize God. doesn't know the joy of being under his rule and doesn't know to praise him and doesn't know to be glad in him and doesn't know what it's like to walk in his way, and they don't know the health or the healing that salvation brings. Our world is for it. It doesn't understand those things. And so this psalmist here, under inspiration, says, I'm praying, God, that you'd bless me, that you'd bless us, so that others would be able to experience you and experience what it is to be known of you. Listen, the goal in the Old Testament is the same goal we have today. It's that we live in a different time, New Testament model. Now, again, the idea is that we sit here and we wait for the nations to come to us. The command is for us to go to them. But please don't miss this. The purpose of our blessings, the purpose of God's blessings in our lives are still the same. What God meant for Israel and the reason He blessed Israel is the same reason He blesses us today. The work of the gospel is the reason why we have been blessed. In other words, we might put it this way. We are blessed to be a blessing. To be a blessing. We're blessed with prosperity. We're blessed with God's goodness upon our lives so that God would be recognized and known and praised by all people. Fortunately, a sad reality is, all too often, the blessings of God in our lives are not used the way He means for them to be used. Our tendency is to see God's blessings, the way He showers upon us His goodness. We see it as, well, these things are for me. My use, my comfort, my desires. I don't know about you, but I understand about me. I'm naturally self-centered. I have to fight against being selfish. We are. It's naturally how things are. We lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of how God means to use us. And often, listen, when it comes to the blessings of God, we are a dead end. As opposed to being a channel through which God blesses others, we're a dead end. In other words, what I mean is that these blessings come to us and they stay with us. And they stop with us. Instead of being that which would pass those blessings along to somebody else, they come to us and we enjoy them. We may even be grateful for them. But we don't use them maybe the way God means for us to. Pastor Leidick often puts it this way. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. If you know anything about the Dead Sea there in Israel, you understand that it's a place where rivers flow into this sea, but they don't flow out. Everything flows in. Nothing flows out. And so because of the case, it all ends up there, and it's a dead sea, salty. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. There's no life there. And the picture he's painted, listen, we receive all these things, but they stay with us, and they don't ever move to anybody else. And that leads to us being dead, Dead Sea Christians. How many you're familiar with the term misappropriation of funds? Or maybe embezzlement. The idea behind those crimes, misappropriation, it's the intentional, illegal use of the property or the funds of somebody else for one's own unauthorized purposes. It's to take somebody else's money, to take somebody else's property or funds or something that belongs to somebody else and to use them for ourselves, for our own use, in a way that's illegal. Embezzlement, similar. It's to misappropriate funds. It's to withhold or to misuse something that's been entrusted to you. You're given the stewardship of something. You're given the control of something. You're supposed to manage that thing, and instead of using those things rightly, you use them selfishly. You use them in a wrong way. I'm afraid when we think about the blessings of God in the right way, we can be guilty misappropriating His blessings. Listen, taking the blessings He's given to us and using them for our own purposes. and our own desires, embezzling his blessings. Listen, we've been entrusted with so much from God. Again, thinking about just the physical blessings of our God, so much that he's given to us, and we embezzle them. A blessing embezzler. It's not a crime, necessarily, in our world, but we can be guilty. Misusing things that have been entrusted to us. When we look at the way God blesses us, and when we refuse to take the mindset that is, these blessings are for me to be a blessing, to help the nations of the world to understand the truth, to help the gospel to go forward, to help the churches to spread the gospel, to help missionaries go to the field, to help the gospel go forward in my own community. When those blessings are not used that way, it's very much like embezzlement, misappropriation. See, the purpose of our blessings is the gospel. It's the name of God. His way is saving health. He's not placed us here in America and blessed us the way that he's blessed us. You just kind of sit here and say, well, this is awesome. And it is awesome, right? And we do thank the Lord for it. But the reality is everything he blesses us with is for his purpose. The job that you have, it's a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing until you don't have a job. You may not get up every Monday morning at whatever time you get up and say, it's a blessing to go to work today. When you don't have a job, you don't have a way of making an income, you understand very quickly, a job's a blessing. The job that he's given you, we have to see it this way. That job is not just for my own personal benefit. It is that. I thank the Lord for what he allows me to accomplish personally with this job, but this job is not just mine, for me. He's given me this job so that I might have my eyes on this world and use this job to be a help to somebody else. The freedom we have in this country. Is that a blessing? Absolutely it is. Again, I hope it's not one of those things we don't appreciate until it's gone. We ought to appreciate it right now. The freedom that we have in this country, that's a blessing, and it's a blessing worth to use for the furtherance of the gospel. The family that you have, a blessing. Maybe some parents here, grandparents, your children, your grandkids, they're a blessing. Sometimes. Usually, right? Not always. I'm a dad. Got little kids. They're not always a blessing. It can be sometimes difficult. The reality is, though, those children have been entrusted to me. And it would be very easy for me to see these kids as mine. The reality is these kids are God's. And God means to use them. I don't know how he's going to use these kids, but he means to use them for the furtherance of the gospel. That may be in the ministry, that may not be in the ministry. Regardless of how God uses them, he does mean to use them to bring people to himself. The time that we have, our health, whatever measure of health that you have is a blessing, and God means for us to use it in the furtherance of the gospel, in seeing people brought to the Lord. Listen, life itself is a blessing. The breath in your lungs today, God means for you to use that for the sake of the nations. Our talents and abilities, God's given you some things that you can do that maybe nobody else can. Given you some abilities that maybe nobody else has. The income that we have, money that we have, resources available to us, God means for us to, yes, meet our needs with those things, yes. But use them for the nations? Absolutely. Our future? Everything. Listen, we think about every part of our life. Go to the songbook, listen, and list those blessings, count those blessings. And every one of those blessings, God means for us to not just enjoy it, but to have a mindset that says, this blessing has been given to me for the purpose of the gospel. For the sake of the nations. See, does it mean we can't use these blessings in our own lives? I mean, is it wrong to take that money that I make at the job and provide for my needs and even some of my wants? That's not wrong. It's saying we can't enjoy these things. God means for us to, I don't believe God means for us to be miserable. He does want us to be happy. does want us to enjoy these things. But what it does mean this morning is this. There has to be a right mindset regarding the blessings of God. These are not just for us, not just ours. These are for the Lord, for His work. So what should we do? Well, I'd encourage you this morning. Be mindful. Be mindful of the blessings of God in your life. Again, just even going back to where we started, count your blessings. Don't go through this life and think that, I don't know, I see God. No, every day we gotta be mindful. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. And it's God behind those blessings. But then the purpose of our time here this morning is this. Carefully, prayerfully, allow the Spirit to work in us and help us to see that these blessings that I have are meant to be used for His purposes. The way He intends for me to use them. Be good for us to ask Him, Father, am I using the blessings that You've entrusted to me for Your purpose? For Your cause, for Your name? It comes to the blessing that You've given me. Am I faithfully stewarding these things, or am I embezzling them, misappropriating them? Fortunately for many of us, I'm afraid, we get to verse 1 and we stop at verse 1. We pray, we thank God for it, we acknowledge God's mercy, God's blessing. And verse 1 is awesome. I'm afraid too many never get to verse 2. We love verse 1. God's blessings are good and we enjoy His blessings. And they come to us and we thank Him for them. We're awesome and it's great. We love it. And we don't ever get to verse 2, purpose behind it. That Thy way may be made. Verse 1 is awesome, but we don't move on to verse number 2. We're missing the point. So let me remind you this morning that you and I, we are stewards. We've been given much, but we own nothing. Given much, but we don't own anything. How are we supposed to use these things God's given us? Blessed? Yes. Blessed for our own sake? No. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Father, would you help us fight against that sinful tendency that we have to take what you so richly pour out upon us? And Lord, in so many ways, these blessings are manifested. Lord, we are so quick to lose sight of the reason behind it all. The purpose of our prosperity, the purpose behind it is your praise, your glory, the gospel among all nations. Would you help us to have that mindset? Would you help us to see our blessings through that lens? Everything you've given us is for you to use. Keep us from being the dead end. Keep us from being those who just receive and never get to verse 2 and see the purpose behind it all. Lord, help us recognize the blessings that you've given to us are for your cause. We have been blessed to be a blessing. So Lord, help us, remind us of these things. I pray you'd help Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Say, take a step forward in faith, and they faith promise commitments, and Lord, they give to the cause of mission in the world. Lord, I pray you help them in doing that. Lord, use this church to be a blessing to many missionaries and church planters so that your name would go forward and the gospel would be known and people would come to know and enjoy and praise you. Lord, I trust that would be our heart and our desire this morning. Again, help us to see these things in the way that we ought to. Jesus' name, we'll ask it.